1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this morning. And I'm glad I looked over my notes before church because I had written down 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 30. And there's no 30 verses in chapter 6. And I thought, boy, that would have been nice. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. I guess I was cross-eyed. In 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You find here in this particular verse, and we'll be looking at some other things, but you find here in this verse two extremes of our emotions. We find in this verse, we find that the word is used that David was greatly distressed. The word distressed means he's under pressure. He was sorrowful. He was, I guess we would maybe use a word closely related to that as discouraged. David was greatly distressed. He was greatly discouraged. The Bible tells us here that the people were about to stone him. That would make me distressed. I believe that would make you distressed. That would make me discouraged. David has had his battles, and their things have not gone as they wanted them to. And now David being the leader of Israel, they are about to stone him and about to kill him. And the Scripture says he is distressed. The discouragement has overtaken him. And the Bible says here in this verse that the people spake of stoning because the soul of all the people was grieved. But then the last part of that verse says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I believe this morning that we could find ourselves to the point that we see that we are many times on one side or the other. We can be very distressed, we can be very discouraged. Or when we find ourselves looking to the Lord, we shall find that we are very encouraged. For example, today, if we look around us, if we see all the things that are taking place in our communities, in our country, our state, and even in our world, I believe we would find that we can be discouraged very, very quickly. Across my email, I get all kind of news reports, and none of them are ever good. I get all kind of information of what's taking place in our country, and on the political scene, I sometimes see where it comes from. I just delete it because I just really don't want to read it today. Because it's going to be the same story as yesterday, and if I read it tomorrow, it'll be the same story. So why read it every day? Because we are in a nation and we are in a condition of discouragement. But I believe when we look to the Lord, we can find that we can be encouraged. That God would help us and God would bless and give to us. Here we find, as I said, David is in a point where he is ready and they are ready to stone him. But he goes to the Lord and the Scripture says that he finds himself encouraged. He finds himself no longer at the point of despair, no longer at the point of giving up, no longer at the point of just throwing in the towel. But now he's encouraged in the Lord and knowing that God has given him certain things to accomplish. He can do that even when there are threats of stoning and threats of destroying and the threats that come to your person and to yourself. Now David is encouraged because he's gone to the Lord his God. I like that particular passage there when the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I believe David had a close personal relationship with the God of heaven. And when he saw all the pressures of life coming upon him and he had seen all the things of despair, he turns to the Lord and he is encouraged in Christ. I believe that can happen to all of us. Discouragement is here. Discouragement is on every corner. But if we would turn to the Lord, I believe we would find ourselves also encouraged in the things around us and about us. The word discouraged is used 6 different times in the Bible. 4 of those times is in reference to Israel and is in reference to their trip through the wilderness. And we find that they are discouraged because of the way. Turn over to the book of Numbers, if you would, just for a moment. Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. It says here, they journeyed from Mount Hor to the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, because of the things that they were facing, and because of the troubles and the struggles and the problems that were there, and probably the distress that was upon them. They were discouraged because of the way. Sometimes we get discouraged because of the way. Sometimes we have problems because of where we are and where we find ourselves. Even in the will of God, we sometimes can become very discouraged knowing that problems are around, even though we do know we're in the center of God's will. We can be discouraged and we can have problems and stress that comes through, but we can be encouraged in the Lord when we look unto Him. The Bible says also in the book of Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 9, the Scripture says, "For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land the Lord had given them." Here we find the account that they are discouraged because of the way. Now they've gone in and spied out the land, and the people come back and they discourage the heart of the people because they did things, they looked at things differently. And so discouragement is up on all of us. Now we don't want to admit it, we don't like to admit it, and I doubt we would admit it very often, but sometimes we come to church and we're so discouraged. Sometimes we come to the house of God and things at work haven't gone right and problems have arisen in different areas of our life, and we are so burdened down and we're so distressed and we're so discouraged, but we have a good way of hiding it, and we don't want people to know the real us. We don't want people to see the real us, but I'm glad that God knows my real heart. And He understands, He knows my soul, and He knows my discouragement. But we can hide it from people, but we need to understand that if we'll take it to the Lord, He will help us with our discouragement. So I thought this morning that we would just deal a little bit about some things that discouragement will do to us and how that we can be encouraged in the Lord. The things that will bring to us discouragement that comes to us by every sense of the word. The encouragement that the people of God have, it comes from the Lord. You and I this morning, if we're going to have any encouragement, it's not going to be from the TV report, the radio report, the newspaper. It's not going to be from our friends and our neighbors, but our encouragement comes from the Word of God and from the Lord of Heaven. It comes not from this world, but it comes from the world to where we are going and where we are headed. So, Israel learned that if they were going to be encouraged, if they were going to be able to go on and fight the battle, they had to fight it in the Lord. Zerubbabel said, "The battle is the Lord's. It's His battle. It's not my battle. And so if He suffers defeat, it's the Lord suffering defeat. It's not me." And you and I this morning, we must realize that the battle that we're in is His battle, and He can fight the battle for us. Israel learned that. David, I believe, learned that because he encouraged himself in the Lord God of heaven. And we must learn the same things. Encouragement makes us keep our thoughts correct. Discouragement will make us do some wrong things. I know I'm talking to people that understand discouragement. You say, "How do you know that, preacher?" Because we're all made out of the same stuff, and we all have the same makeup, and we all have the same physical things in our life, and we know what takes place, and we all know what it is to be discouraged. Just can't go on. It's not worth it. Well, when we get discouraged, we're going to do some things that are wrong, and therefore we need to recognize that and then encourage ourselves in the Lord as David did. We can be discouraged about financial issues. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can be discouraged about spiritual issues. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can be discouraged even with physical issues of health and sickness and sorrow. We need to take it to the Lord to be encouraged. And all those things are common to all of us. man that is born of woman is a few days. And those days are full of trouble, the Scripture says. And trouble brings on this discouragement. But if we're not careful when we're discouraged, we will not pray correctly. Our prayers will not be as they should be. I remember back in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter number 11, Moses prayed that he would die. That wasn't a good prayer. But Moses prayed that out of despair. Moses prayed that out of discouragement. He prayed that because he was distressed and in sorrow. Why, Elijah prayed that he would die. Lord, just kill me. Just take me out of the way. Jonah had some of the same. Some of the great people of the Word of God have had this thing of discouragement that they just prayed the wrong prayer. But thank God, later on you find them serving God. Later on you find them doing what they should do. You know why? Because they encouraged themselves in the Lord. The Lord told Elijah, said, "What are you doing here? Get up." Sometimes God tells us, "What are you doing there? Under that juniper tree, what are you doing there? Just get up and go about your business and serve God and to be encouraged in the Lord." Sometimes when we discourage our prayer life, it goes undone. It goes left undone. When we're discouraged, when we should really pray, is when we don't pray. I found all through my years of preaching that people, when they need God the most, is when they sometimes go away from God. When they need to pray, they don't pray. When they need Christian fellowship, they don't come to church. When they need encouragement from the Lord's people, they're not around God's people, and they sort of isolate themselves and put themselves over in a corner, and they are just sitting there, and their prayer life becomes null and void. Oh, may God help us to realize this morning that prayer does change our things and our attitude. Prayer does help us, and God has commanded us, and God has commissioned us that we're to pray without ceasing, to have that attitude of prayer in our lives, that He might answer and control our lives. Discouragement will make us pray wrong. Discouragement will make us not only pray wrong, but it'll make us say some wrong things. Sometimes in our despair, we'll say what we think. David said, "All men are liars." All men are not liars, but David in his discouragement there in Psalms 116 says, "All men are liars." He was discouraged. He was under stress. And we're not careful, we'll make some foolish statements also. Look in the book of Job. Now, if anybody had reason to be discouraged, I think Job had a legitimate reason. When you read about the life of Job in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Satan comes at him as an onslaught. I mean, he has undergone loss. He's undergone physical health problems. His children have died. His livelihood is gone. His cattle and all of his animals are gone. Everything's gone. You come to chapter number three. Out of his discouragement, Job said some wrong things, just like we do. He says, after this, and read chapter 1 and 2, you'll find what this is. "After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said," now notice what he said, "let the day perish wherein I was born." Verse 4. "Let the day be darkened. Let not God regard it from above." Verse 5. "Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it." Verse 6. "As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let not be joined unto the days of the year." Verse 7. "Lo, let that night be solitary, let no joyful voice come therein." Verse 8, "Let them curse it that curse the day." Verse 9, "Let the stars of the twilight therefore be dark." It goes on and on. Job is in despair. Job is in distress, even though he has made the statement to his wife, "Naked I came into the world, naked I'll leave the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job now is in his quiet time, and he says, "The day that I was born, let it be cursed," and everything in connection with it. Job said some wrong things when he was discouraged. I'll let you do your own mental thinking as I can do mine. Can you recall some time in your life when you were discouraged and you said some wrong things? I think so, probably. If you read the entire book of Job, you'll find that Job had an understanding of who God was. He had some questions. Job, I believe, tells us what his problem was in verse number 12 of chapter 16. Job said, "I was at ease." You see, Job was a rich man. He had everything going for him, and he looks back and said, "I was at ease. Everything was well." But he says, "But he hath broken me asunder." He says, "My witness is in heaven, my record is on high." Job had a relationship with God, and Job understood. He asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" And on and on, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth." You see, now Job is beginning to get himself encouraged in the Lord, and he says, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that one day I shall see Him." And he says, "Even after the skin worms has destroyed this body, I shall see God in my flesh." Job all of a sudden becomes encouraged in the Lord. It doesn't take long to get discouraged, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't take a long time for the Lord to encourage us when we get a pure, perfect vision of Him. So we pray the wrong things, we say the wrong things, we think the wrong things. John says in Matthew chapter 11, when John the Baptist is in prison, he says, "You send the message to Jesus Christ, find out if He's really who He said He was." Now John knew He was, because just a little while ago, just a few months before, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But now he's in prison. He's under distress. He's discouraged. And he sends a messenger to the Lord and said, "Are you who you say you really are?" He's discouraged. But Jesus sends back a message to John. And Jesus said, "You tell John, the blind are seeing, the sick are raised, healing has come." And then John knew that Jesus was who He said He was. You see, it just takes the word of the Lord. It just takes the message from Jesus Christ to help us not to think the wrong thing. Mary Magdalene said, "Lord, if you'd been here, he would not have died." They're discouraged. You see, Jesus, the Bible says, tarried 2 days. Why? So that Lazarus would die and Jesus would be glorified. And Jesus is talking to them, and He said, "I'm the resurrection." And Jesus says that Lazarus, He's going to raise again. Mary says, "Oh, Lord, we know He'll raise again in the resurrection." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so we find that discouragement comes, but encouragement comes from the Lord. This morning we are distressed or we are encouraged. There's not a whole lot of in-between ground, especially in the day in which we live. We are either on the mountain or we're in the valley. And when we're going toward the valley, we go there quickly, we go there fast, and sometimes it takes us a long time to get out of that valley, to get back on the mountaintop. But the way we do it is to be encouraged in the Lord and not on things around us and focus on worldly things, but focus our eyes upon spiritual, godly, scriptural things that will help us in the way of the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll pray wrong and we'll talk wrong and we'll think wrong and we'll end up doing things wrong because we're discouraged. In Numbers chapter 20, the Lord had told Moses,
Moses, you speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He hit the rock. And because of that one thing, Moses is not permitted to go to the promised land because he disobeyed God. Moses was discouraged. Moses had to be. We talk about the patience of Job. Moses had to have more patience, or as much patience as Job had, to put up with that group of murmuring complainers. That as soon as they got out of the Egyptian land, they come to bitter water and they complain and they said, Moses, you just led us out here to die. No, Moses hadn't led them anywhere. Moses was following the plan that God gave him. But Moses is the one they all saw, and so they blame him and they blame Aaron. Moses gets to the point that he finally, in his distress and his despair and his discouragement, he smites the rock. And God says, just speak to the rock. Why was that? Because he had already smitten the rock once. And that rock was Christ, according to 1 Corinthians. And our Lord Jesus Christ has only been smitten once. As he hung there upon the cross of Calvary, suffering for our sins, he was smitten. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was destroyed in the flesh for you and I. And Moses did the wrong thing. Elijah has gone to battle with the 450 prophets of Baal and the other 400 that were there, 850, 900 prophets against God. And Elijah stands before them and prays that short 63-word prayer, and the fire of God falls down from heaven, and the next day you find Elijah running from a woman. He's on the mountaintop. He's experienced great things, the blessing of God. And here old Jezebel is, I'm going to make your life like them tomorrow. And Elijah, he says, I've had enough. I'm going to leave. I'm running. And God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? So, discouragement, circumstances. It doesn't matter to me what anybody tells you. Circumstances will dictate sometimes, many times, our spirituality. It shouldn't, but it does. You let your world crumble tomorrow and see what it does to your spiritual life. For the most part, it bothers us. It'll hurt us. You let distressing news come and all of a sudden our spirituality begins to falter and fail within our heart. Now, we don't want anybody to know that, but down deep in our soul, we're asking God why. We're asking God what's going on, and we're discouraged. And we'll do things that are wrong, and we'll say things that are wrong, and we'll think things that are wrong, and we'll even see things that's wrong. How's that happen, preacher? I don't know. But I know one thing. When they went into the land that flowed with milk and honey, they saw the giants rather than seeing the God of the giants. They saw the giants there say, oh, it's a land that's great and has everything, but there are giants in the land. Well, God knew there were giants there before He ever sent them there. And they were discouraged because of the way. Now, it took them 40 years to get out of that. Those 10 spies that brought back a bad report, and that generation that believed them, those verses we read there in the book of Numbers is in connection with that, because they came back and discouraged the hearts of the people. They followed the majority. Somebody said, well, majority's always right. Here's one time majority wasn't right. And they followed the discouraging report of those 10 spies. They would not listen to Joshua. They would not listen to Caleb. Caleb said, yes, there's giants, but we can take it. You see, they discouraged. And they see things wrong. We can see the giants out there, can't we? Well, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of problems out there. There's a lot of difficulties, and we see those, and sometimes we sort of key in on that. That's all we see. We have tunnel vision right toward that one spot. We need to be encouraged in the Lord, knowing that in the way that He's led me, He knows the way that I take. They were discouraged because of the way, but they were there because God had put them there.
And if God had placed them there, God knew what was there. And God had given them the ability. The Lord said, the land is yours. Go take it. I'll fight your battles. And they said, oh, we can't. Wasn't that a foolish thing to say? When God said, it's your land, you can take it, I'll fight for you. Oh, God, we can't do that. Why can't we? Because we're discouraged. Because it might take a little bit of work. It might take a little bit of struggle. I find today there's a lot of folks that want a job, they just don't want to work. I mean, they want a job, and they want a paycheck, but don't ask them to do anything. Why? Don't dare ask me to do that. These folks, they wanted promised land, and they said, oh, it's just like what God said it was, but we can't do it. Why? Because it's going to be a struggle. You know what, this morning? Your life for the Lord Jesus Christ will never be what it ought to be unless you have a struggle in it. The struggle toughens us and makes us, and puts us in a position where we can fight the battle for the Lord. But sometimes we just don't see it that way. Preacher, I just don't see it that way. Sometimes we don't see it that way because our lives are burdened by discouragement. Sometimes discouragement gets us in the wrong place. I know some folks, I believe, out of place. I know people in the ministry, I know some preachers, I believe, out of place because of discouragement. The average stay of Baptist preachers now is about 2 years. That's terrible. I'm so glad God's given us a long ministry here. Because I've seen children grow up to be adults and have children growing up to be adults. 2 years, what can you get accomplished? But you know what happens? Well, they don't like what I'm like. They don't do what I want. Da, da, da. Well, get in there and prove yourself. They might follow you. And they get discouraged. It looks better over there. So they, I don't know how many times I get phone calls. Do you know of any church in a certain area? I said, well, I don't know there, but there's another church. Well, I'm not interested in that. They're not interested. They're just wanting a job. I believe when God called me to preach, God called me to preach anywhere He told me to go. I believe that's the call of God. And if we're not careful, we get in the wrong place. Jonah got in the wrong place. And he was a prophet of God. He was a man of God that had the message of God for an entire people that was dying without God. And Jonah said, I'm not going that way. I'm going another way. Buddy, when God got through with him, I believe he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. Discouragement. Wrong place, wrong thing, wrong words, wrong mindset, wrong spirit. When you're in discouragement, out of the will of God, you got a wrong spirit. You have the spirit of defeatism. I can't do that. That's what Israel had. That's what David had until he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I can't do that. I'm defeated before we get started. I have to work on not being a pessimist. I have to work on it. Because I said, well, that won't work anyway. How do you know? And bless his heart, my grandson took a lot of those traits from me. He said, it'd take ever. I mean, when we get there, they won't have it. Amy said the other day, she said, boy, it sounds like my dad. I said, shut up. Everything takes an hour. Well, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Is it going to take that long? Well, when we get there, they won't have the toy I want. I said, well, we won't even go there.
Well, yeah, we ought to. Well, you done said they wouldn't have. Well, they probably won't, but let's go look. And that's like we are when it comes to our attitude when we're out of the will of God. God, it won't work anyway. You may lead me over there, but there's nothing over there. God said to the children of Israel, take the land, it's your land, I'll fight for it. What? We can't. Pessimistic. I'm not going to do that. Going to take some work. Going to take an hour. Going to take some time. Have the spirit of defeatism. Have the spirit of murmuring. The people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron the whole trip. Moses finally got tired of it and he hit the rock. So their attitude got his attitude wrong. It does spread. Spirit of criticism, all that comes from discouragement. But I pray God would help you and I this morning that we would encourage ourselves in the Lord. Now I can try to say some encouraging words to someone when they come to me and have some needs. I try my best to be an encourager. There's enough to discourage. And we can do all those things for each other, and we should. But your ultimate encouragement comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He that came from heaven to earth. It is He that died. It is He that lived a perfect life. It is He that's coming back again for us. But we need to be encouraged in the Lord our God. Jesus Christ the righteous. May God help us this morning not to live in the valley of defeat, the plains of despair, and try to get across the ocean of discouragement. But may we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, having Him as our lead and our guide, and knowing that He can encourage me when nobody else can. Your ultimate encouragement is not from your husband, your wife, your mother, your dad, your sister, your brother. Your ultimate encouragement is not from your preacher, your pastor, or some evangelist, or someone we know. I'm glad we have those folks. I'm glad we can talk to them and share things together. But our ultimate encouragement comes from the One that shed His blood because He loved us. He loved us because. Not because we were rich, not because we were large, not because we had much to offer. He just loved us. Thank God this morning, David learned in his distress, he could be encouraged. In that one verse, you have two extremes. Encouragement and discouragement. May God help us to learn to be encouraged. Let's stand together this morning.